Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Andy, more height might be coming back to the Lakers starting lineup. And just how close was Damian Lillard to being part of the Lakers big three? All that and more coming up on today's Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yeah, spoiler alert, not very, but it's an interesting story nonetheless. We do want to let you know that today's episode of Locked On Lakers brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. So big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. Want to let you know, too, that we appreciate you guys making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. We get this thing posted as fast as we can, as close to midnight on the West Coast as we can. So it's there for you whenever you wake up, whenever you're working, and we appreciate you guys tuning in, watching on YouTube and all of that. So we're going to talk about Damian Lillard and some really interesting reporting from Chris Haynes at Yahoo about meeting that he had with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But first, Andy, let's start at the beginning, the starting lineup. The Lakers have played the last two games with Anthony Davis at center. And as we've talked about, starting at center, I should say. And as we talked about on the show, though, some of that is personnel-based. Dwight Howard has missed the last two games with neck stiffness, and so Frank Vogel has chosen to bring DeAndre Jordan off the bench rather than kind of have no backup center anywhere.
It just screws with the rotation.
It really does. So he was asked, Vogel was, at the end of the second Houston game, which was what, Wednesday?
Tuesday.
The days of the week really screw me up. About the starting lineup and what he plans to do going forward. And y'all may not like this answer, but he was asked about going back to a two-center, the two-big lineup, and he said, it's one of the things that I'll say, this is just something that we're looking at right now, but we do intend to start big again. But like I said, we're looking at roster flexibility. So whether it stays that way permanently, at the very least, don't think that this is going to be the way forward where Anthony Davis starts at center and presumably either Dwight Howard or DeAndre Jordan backs him up and the other one probably doesn't play. That doesn't seem to be the recipe going forward, at least for right now.
I mean, look, it's hard to say. On one hand, as we've learned from, when it comes to people trying to couch their language or, you know, testimony in front of Congress, like intend can be a word that does a lot of work. like intend can be a very, very useful word when you want to be able to allow yourself the most flexibility possible or just stay out of prison.
I mean, look, and, to be fair, I intend to do a lot of things.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
And sometimes not, but
I intend to be amazing at my job. I intend to be amazing husband, amazing father. I intend to be 6'5". Like there's a lot that I intend to do. Most of it I don't accomplish. But that being said, I've said this a million times. I will say it again. This is just, I think, his overall guiding principle in terms of what he wants as a worldview with basketball. He really values a lot of size, the ability to put pressure and leverage on the rim offensively. I think he relishes having a lot of size potentially around the lane. And to be fair, there have been times where we've seen, and I know we're going to get into this specifically with rebounding, but just the defense in general, where the lack of size does seem to be hurting the Lakers. So I can understand where he's coming from.
Well, and it's hard because
even like, if I don't totally endorse it,
sure,
I can understand.
No, and totally. And I think you, me, and most Lakers fans don't necessarily endorse the idea, but it's one of these deals where the Lakers have been so bad defensively. And I know they're, you know, after the two Rockets games, they're up to the middle of the pack. They were 27th heading into those games. They're up to about 15th now. That said, they played one great defensive game. The Sunday night game against Houston was a lockdown defensive game aided by a terrible effort from a bad Houston team. The first half on Tuesday was awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to remember, and I'm not trying to take anything away from, because I do think they were legitimately doing some things well on defense. They held Houston to 85 points, which is an achievement against any NBA team. That, like, that's not easy to do. That being said, Houston averages like 101 points a game.
Right. No, Houston is one of the worst offensive teams in the league.
Right. So, I mean, that needs to be acknowledged in having this discussion.
Correct. And so I think, you know, stats, there's a ton of noise in stats, as we've talked about, you know, early in the, you know, they've played 8 games. And so the level of noise in these numbers is tremendous. That said, like, you don't need analytics to look at it and say, they've had some pretty raggedy moments, I think, on the defensive side of the ball, and they have problems. But like DeAndre Jordan, for example, in terms of you mentioned Vogel's hands being tied, Jordan would have been off the floor for most of Tuesday's game, I think, given how much trouble he was having with Christian Wood, with even, you know, Alpi Şengün, and like he was just struggling out there. The numbers weren't terrible. The eye test let you know, like, this is not going well. But they didn't have anybody else to put in because Dwight Howard was injured and Trevor Ariza is hurt, and you don't want Anthony Davis had foul trouble in the first half. You know, you didn't want him to pick up that third foul. They're out of dudes. And so what I think is, I was asked, I did Spectrum Sportsnet on Monday, the Lakers cable station, you know, where they, you know, their home station broadcasts all their games, their studio show. And one of the questions I was asked was, you know, do you think Anthony Davis will start a third of his games at center? And I answered over, because I do think ultimately he will. But if they'd said half, I'm not sure I'd have gone that high. So, you know, I don't know how many of these games we're going to see, at least until later in the year. But the other thing I think is interesting, Andy, Vogel said in training camp that he doesn't want to be mixing and matching his starting lineups very much. And when you talk about it, he says, we're looking at roster flexibility. I do intend to start big again soon. Like, it does sound at least like he's a little more open to tinkering perhaps now than he was when camp opened.
Well, maybe. Again, you know, that word intend can do an awful lot of work. He does not intend to have a lot of different lineups.
Right. They are looking at roster.
Right, exactly. These are politician words. These are words that coaches and general managers use when they talk about players that we know are on the block. We've heard enough noise that they're on the block, and they say, we do not intend to trade so-and-so right now. You know, the underlying thought being,
right,
we haven't had a good offer.
You know, ask me in 20 minutes. Right,
right, exactly. I think it's also important to remember with Vogel in that statement is when he made that, he did not count on half of his lineup being gone in the first 8 games of the season.
Right. Like they'd be able to use some of the preseason to be able to make some of these determinations, practice, whatever.
So there is still some tinkering that needs to be done, not even because Frank Vogel may or may not be flexible. It's because he hasn't actually had the opportunity to land on something he wants.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is, yeah, I put forward the idea, and you know, I think when we talked about it the day on the show, your point of like consistency matters and all that kind of stuff. You know, you don't necessarily want to be mixing and matching your starting lineups and all that stuff. And I get it. And I don't even think you're wrong. But to be put in that position where the only way you might have an opportunity to see the lineups that you need to see in the numbers that you want to see them is to start Kendrick Nunn with Russell Westbrook one night just to see what it looks like. Start, Austin Reeves with Bazemore together, you know, with the big three, or start Carmelo Anthony. Like, I'm interested.
These are things that you're interested in doing. I mean, these may be things that I'm more interested in seeing than Frank Vogel.
I'm interested in seeing a lot of things.
And, you know, and to
tremendously curious.
Right. But to go back to what we were talking about before, Frank Vogel does not intend to amuse us over the course of the season.
No. Like,
I mean, he may do it unintentionally when it comes to lineup mixing and matching, but it's not something that he's setting out to do. So some of these, like, you know, Russell Westbrook and Kendrick Nunn together, that is something I know you have been intrigued by. I have no idea if it's something
Intrigued by. And I suspect that we will see it over the course of the season. assuming we get to see Kendrick Nunn at any point, which, you know, should be coming up in the next couple of weeks. But that gets to the other, the larger point here is that, you know, they just haven't had the opportunity to do a lot of the things that they want to do. And so, like, you know, behind the scenes, what really matters is how much center is Anthony Davis playing, and his splits are currently at a set, you know, where he is playing more center in this year as a Laker than he has in any other year here. 63% of his time, according to Cleaning the Glass, has been spent at center. And even with that little bump that he's gotten in the last couple games, Andy, from starting there, 63% to 37%. Last year, it was 91% of his time at power forward, 9% at center. And his first year was 60-40 overall. And that flipped basically in the playoffs. So he's doing now even more than what he did at center. So, you know, than in the championship season. So it is easy to get hung up in the starting lineup. But really what matters is how much time is he playing there? Because ultimately, that is what is better for the Lakers. But the other reasons, you mentioned some of the limitations and some of the things that they're struggling with. Rebounding is one of the things that's caught your attention. We are going to talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models out there, it is impossible to stock all the parts you would need in a traditional chain storefront. And why, anyway, would you spend 30%, 50%, 100% more on the exact same parts at a chain store or a new car dealership anyway? Dummy, you can get it for far less at rockauto.com. For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store. That is highway robbery. $216 from Rock Auto. It's a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. So everything you need, few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by betonline.ag. Basketball, it's back and it's better than ever. And it comes with a new web interface, Andy, with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. 50% welcome bonus. So from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, I skipped the part about baseball today. See? No Ron Burgundy. UFC, right up to your favorite. scotch. Right up to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 seasons that are rolling along. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the games start. So their numbers are interesting because it's so hard to read what's been going on with the Lakers, why they're deficient in what they are, and trying to figure out what is real and what isn't with the Lakers. And so, you know, I was surprised that their offense has been as good as it's been, like statistically, because they've had so many moments where it looks so bad. We talked about that, I think, at the end of last week. The defense is sort of all over the map statistically, but one place that you've zoned in on that is potentially problematic and explains some of Frank Vogel's decision-making is rebounding.
Yeah, in terms of Vogel's inclination towards size, beyond the fact that, again, I just think that's how he sees the game, he may be concerned in part over the rebounding. The Lakers so far this season have been bad on the boards as of this recording, 26th in the league overall, 18th for offensive rebounds, 22nd for defensive. And again, small sample size. They're missing some guys like Trevor Ariza or THT who could theoretically be helpful along these lines. But it got me just thinking about it.
I mean, those guys, it's not like when those guys return, you're getting like, you know, Rudy Gobert back or something who's
going to get again,
15 a game.
Relative to who they have, they may be helpful. But they by themselves, as I think you rightly note, are not going to solve everything. And I started looking at some of like AD and LeBron and Russ in particular, because A, they're the three stars. B, all three of them are good rebounders. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Davis, again, I'm using a lot of this Cleaning Glass as well for their data. His defensive rebounding percentage, that's a percentage of an opponent's miss that he would grabble on the floor, 19.9%. That puts him in the 59th percentile for his position, and it's just tenths of a point off a career low, even though 7.4 defensive rebounds per game, it's not terrible, but it's not incredible by his standards. LeBron, right, averaging 5 defensive rebounds per game puts him at 13.1 percent of the defensive rebounding percentage, 48th percentile of whatever you define LeBron's position as. This is one of those times where I would demand to be called a point guard if I were LeBron.
No, it really bumped that up.
Right, but that is the second lowest percentage of his career. Russ, by the way, 8.8 overall rebounds, 6.9 defensive. For his position, he is crushing it. And by any rebounding metric, whether you're talking about offensive, defensive, those percentages, rebounding Laker missed free throws, rebounding missed free throws from your opponent, he has been elite in all his percentiles, 85% or higher. The raw numbers are on the lower end of his recent production of late, but that's only because he's been basically like historic as a point rebounding point guard. So individually, if you looked at some of these guys, you wouldn't necessarily think, at least with the counting numbers, that they're that bad. But once you start getting into a particular, like LeBron and AD, you start wondering if them just being good on in this particular aspect isn't enough. And it really got me wondering if the front office and, by extension, me, overestimated the value that Russ would bring as a rebounder to, you know, on top of what LeBron and AD do for a team that wants to grab and go, despite the fact that this team was so small on the whole positions 1 through 3.
Well,
and it really got me wondering if they actually didn't realize how much their lack of size might be impacting them over the course of the season.
There's a principle, like, you know, stadiums, for example, you know, new arenas, new stadiums, like when teams leave, you know, oh my gosh, you know, you got to build this stadium because they're going to lose revenue and, you know, all this other stuff. And what, you know, study after study after study has found is that sports, while certainly they do bring revenue, don't necessarily bring additional revenue to cities. Stadiums don't bring additional revenue. They move revenue from one place in the where people inside the city spend it to another. So instead of spending
the billionaires'
it in the movies,
pockets.
Right. They instead of going to the movies or going to dinner in whatever suburb they live in, they spend that money downtown at the stadium or wherever it might be. It's the same amount of money. The pie doesn't increase, just the distribution of it. I think what may be happening here, and this is actually for those who criticize Russ as an empty stat guy, this is one of the things that comes up, that like he's a great rebounder, there's no question, but a lot of that comes from him grabbing rebounds that another player might have grabbed themselves. And where I think you, me, the front office might have looked at it and said, wow, they've got Davis who's going to get 7 or 8, 9 rebounds a game. LeBron, 7, 8, 9 rebounds a game. Now you add Russ to that. As if, you know, the idea being that Russ wouldn't poach on AD and LeBron, he would bring his own. And they'd have this extra layer of rebounding. Because the other stuff, look, the pace, they're leading the league in pace.
Yeah.
You know,
no, they're call, running. They are, despite they're running not plenty. Being they're not a great rebounding team, but they are in the upper end of teams that run off live rebounds. Like when they get rebounds, they are doing
they
the
go.
Thing
Russell
that
Westbrook.
They want to be doing. Absolutely.
47% for all the, you know, are there too many threes or this, that, whatever. Westbrook is at the top of his position, you know, among point guards at the percentage of shots that he takes at the rim. Again, thank you to Cleaning Glass. We both pay for this subscription. If we're going to pay for something, we're going to use it.
It's good stuff, by the way, know, man. It's not an expensive subscription.
No, and it's so helpful. It is so helpful, especially once you kind of figure out what you're looking at.
Yeah, if you like easily digestible numbers, I would recommend Cleaning the Glass. Like, it's really good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, LeBron, Jovan Buha at the Athletic, who does just outstanding work, noted in his
great hair.
I did TV with him on Monday, and he's like a head and a half taller than me. You know, at least 15 years younger, probably more. I think closer to 20. Great hair. Like, I don't need to be on TV with people who look like that. It's not. I mean,
it was guest analyst Brad Pitt.
It was like a jerk move from the producers at Spectrum. You know, I'm used to being on, no disrespect.
Remember Brian,
you know, you look fine for 75, 80 years old. But I mean, like, I'm used to being on with you, Brez.
Remember Hot Felon?
Yeah.
Remember when Hot Felon was, for people who aren't, just Google Hot Felon. He was this guy whose mugshot went viral because he was honestly
he was spectacular looking.
Oh yeah. I mean, this guy was dreamy. Like, I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
But it would be like putting you on TV with Hot Felon.
It wasn't fair. Like, you know, you and me together, that's a fair fight. Both reasonable looking human beings, you know, preserving ourselves the best we can. We're doing what we can.
I intend to preserve myself well.
Callback joke. So, you know, I was disappointed. Like, there is no amount of pregame makeup that can make me close that gap with Jovan. So disappointed in the schedulers over at Spectrum. But he pointed out, like, LeBron is much more of a jump shooter this year than he has been in years past, which makes a lot of sense, both because he is in his 19th season, it is less taxing, and also they need a little bit more floor spacing because of the Westbrook thing. But that said, LeBron is still taking 38% of his shots at the rim, and that puts him in the, you know, top three quarters of forwards in the league. So it's not like he's just living on the perimeter. The guy, honestly, who takes more perimeter shots of big three than anybody is Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not even close. Davis mm-hmm. is, you know, mid-range, long mid-range, both in the 90th percentile. So, I mean, and it's not necessarily bad because he is, particularly from long mid-range, very efficient. But, you know, they're doing certain things well. But I don't, the rebounding thing may be something that I'm not totally sure they can solve.
Well,
I think they can get a little bit better by being better with their principles, being in the right spot, being more attentive. You know, I mentioned on Tuesday's show that play where Westbrook just let Jayshon Tate like walk by him, mm-hmm. like just because he's watching. Like, you can solve those things by being more attentive. I'm not totally positive, though, they can be a great rebounding team, particularly if they play the lineup that most people want, which is Davis at center.
Well, I mean, again, you know, getting Trevor back, getting THT back could help, but the roster is not really built with size. And then when you talk about Vogel and those inclinations, as much as, you know, I've said before many times, you've said before many times, all things being equal, I would much rather see AD starting at the five. Again, this was before I realized how much the size might be affecting the team. When it comes to rebounding in another area beyond just the how many rebounds are you grabbing, when you look at the Lakers and some of the specific issues they're having defensively, they are getting crushed on second chance points. They're
yes.
getting killed there. And they are the worst in the league as of this recording, allowing points in the paint. 53.8, although that might have been solely the result of how they played against Houston on Sunday.
I don't know. That Oklahoma City game contributed to that as well.
But just saying, like, these are things that could explain a lot of what Frank Vogel wants, or, you know, his preferences, what you see him looking to do, despite whatever data you're going to throw out there, you know, whatever plus minus, whatever five-man lineups, if, you know, whatever. You look at certain things like that and you're like, we're just too damn small.
It's small, but it's also it's a lot of things. I mean,
the question becomes how good
can they get when if they can get to whatever their maximum level of defense is. I mean, that in and of itself is one of the great grand experiments of this team, is how good do you have to be? Like, how good do you have to be? Like, what is the kind of the minimum that they need to get to? And then what is the level of rebounding that they need to? When they won the title, for example, they were fourth in offensive rebounding by percentage and seventh in defensive rebounding. So they were a very good rebounding team when they won the title. Do you need to be fourth and seventh? Could you be 12th and compensate in other ways, you know, be a better team that keeps people off the line, whatever it might be? I think the answer to that question is yes. But it's where we'll really see if there's real trouble is if this stuff doesn't improve at all when they have the full roster.
Yeah. And this could be just putting a bow on it. We've talked before about how the roster construction and the defense that they sacrificed for offense, as much as you and I both thought that this was necessary, could be one of those things where one aspect of LeBron and AD's responsibilities get alleviated, but another gets added on defensively.
Right. They have to do more work.
Right. This roster construction could be one of those things where, despite the help you look to give them, you're actually adding more of a burden on those guys with rebounding. So we'll see.
All right. So really interesting reporting from Chris Haynes at Yahoo about a meeting between LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Damian Lillard that happened over the course of the offseason. Just how close was Dame to being the third member of the Big Three? We'll talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving community since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's where friends, family, they come to reconnect. It's a place where you always look forward to stopping to on a long road trip, just rest your legs, refuel. It is nice after you've been driving for hours. Mm-hmm. The camping trip that we people may remember I mentioned getting roped into. Stopped at McDonald's on the way back. It was fantastic. Win or lose, it's always where the home or away team, they can come, they can recharge, think about the game. Our grandma Nini used to always
take us. Such an old man move, by the way. Like, we're going to stop at McDonald's. I'm going to get out and stretch my legs.
Well, I mean, the older you get, the more stretching you need.
Did you make the sound? Did you get out of the car and go,
you know, I would love to see, by the way, I would love to see Anthony Davis stretch his legs after because we see how much like leg maintenance goes into just like a typical game for Anthony Davis. I'd like to see him just stretch his legs out. I want to see what that looks like. But anyway.
Probably makes the sound too.
Yeah. He might.
Anyway,
I don't mean to. Road trips can age us all. But anyway, head to your local McDonald's, reconnect. Did somebody say Locked On Lakers watch party? I'm loving it.
The Lakers obviously settled on Russell Westbrook to be the third member of the Big Three, but Damian Lillard, whose name was out there, is like, you know, because everybody's a future Laker, Andy. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some question as to whether or not Lillard would fully commit to the Blazers as they had another early playoff exit last year. There was questions about the coach and all this other stuff.
The search went smooth.
It did.
Seamless. No hiccups there at all. No.
By the way, you know, as a person who's definitely younger than us that I'm not at all intimidated to be on TV with, Bill Orem.
Yeah, that's not, true.
No problems with that.
Not even a little bit.
Nope. So he, meaning Dame Lillard, not Bill Orem, took a meeting with LeBron James and Anthony Davis at LeBron's house when he was Lillard was in LA shooting a video, one of his songs. And they sat down and talked about kind of what it would look like. And Lillard said it wasn't the hard sell and all that. And it never really got close to Damian Lillard is going to be a Laker. Two questions here, though. First, how cool would that have been? that's just the first one, because I mean, I have an enormous amount of respect for Westbrook, but he's not nearly as much fun to watch as Damian Lillard. I love Damian Lillard.
My wife makes fun of me all the time because I have a massive man crush on Damian Lillard. Like, Dame is probably my favorite player in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, he and has been for a few years. Like, I'm, you know, moving away any Lakers, whatever, like, obviously the Lakers are the team that I want to win, but just in terms of the player that I enjoy the most in the league, like, I enjoy his game, I enjoy his entire vibe, the aura, the way, you know, I mean, he's a smart dude. Like, I enjoy everything about Damian Lillard.
There is this, and I don't know if it's getting worse, or I don't know if it's getting better, or getting worse, whatever, like, certainly in LA, we, as a sports culture, more than I think most cities, are kind of steeped in the, you know, like, rings or nothing thing, because we had 20 years of Kobe Bryant, who, you know, every year I don't win, it's a waste of my life. Like, not even like, it's a disappointing professional moment. It's a waste of my life. Now, a little bit of theater to that, a little bit of mythology.
He actually was, my favorite thing about this that nobody remembers with Kobe is he said that, I want to say it was either after the 2011 exit or the 2012 exit, where they either didn't get the three-peat or it was the first year under Mike Brown, or the only full season under Mike Brown. And, you know, he was asked, you know, he made that famous quote about every year I don't win a championship is a wasted year. He was asked about that the next year. Like, do you still feel that way? He said, no. Everybody's like forgotten that he actually said.
Well, right, because I mean, at that point, I think you could see what was coming. I think I got about 5 more years of this. And, you know, he put all these things together, but that doesn't matter. The mythology lived on, and that was, you know, when Kevin Durant was asked the same question by Ramona Shelburne. Famously, he said, "No," like almost like that's a wasted year of my life. I mean, like, no, because that's the correct answer. It's disappointing. It sucks. It's not what you want. I want to win a title, blah, blah, blah. But like, he was crushed here. Like, we were on the radio doing like, mm-hmm. I mean, oh my God, he's soft. He doesn't care. Like that. That's not the Mamba thing. So we have a particularly in LA specific view of this.
Yeah. I mean, on top of it too, there's, you know, the Lakers, their overall success, the Dodgers, their overall success, USC. Like, there has been a lot of winning in the Sparks, like they're like mm-hmm. it's other than Clippers, it's hard to find
organization. What was that?
Clippers. Mm. Like other than the
hard to believe with that mascot that you can't just soar to victory.
Yeah, Chuck needs to get his shit together. But like there's been so much winning in this city mm-hmm. that like you know the Kobe-ification of it all kicked it into a new gear. But the reality is, man, like this is a town that really demands championships. And it's the truth.
To hear Lillard speak openly about it, you know, he made news this week because he was asked about it. Lillard's having a terrible, terrible start to the season. Shooting's down, scoring's down. He's just in a big slump. It happens to the best players. And I if you drafted Damian Lillard for your fantasy team, trust me, you're going to be fine. But that said, he was asked about it. He's like, you know, these are moments that I relish because I think they define your character. You know, everybody loves to compliment, you know, Dame got 50, Dame got 60. What do they say about you and how do you respond when you're not playing well? And like, these are the moments that I relish. And I think that's the kind of character and that's the kind of approach that got him to say, you know what, chasing rings, chasing sort of perfection, chasing affirmation of other people gets you in trouble. Show up to LA, you win, you don't win. 2 years later, they might break up the team. You go somewhere else, LA, whatever it might be. And now you find yourself bouncing around to 3 or 4 different teams. And like, you know, you give up this thing, this great thing that you had in Portland, which a place that he loves, where they love him, where he is a god.
He's the best Blazer of all time.
And it's not close. They've had some good players.
Yeah, they've had a championship before. He still is the best Blazer.
There's no question. There's no question. And you know where he's loved for all the right reasons too. And you give that up. Are you doing it because it's something that you want, or are you doing it because you think it's something you need to do to satisfy others?
Right.
And I think Lillard came to the conclusion that to leave Portland would be doing it in it for reasons that weren't about him and weren't about his family and weren't about what's best for them. He never would have ended up in LA because there is a 0% chance, that Neil Olshey would have traded Damian Lillard to the Lakers.
Well, like particularly for what the Lakers could offer. I mean,
I don't care what they could offer.
Well, like, if they could have offered a superstar, maybe.
Like, okay, you trade back Anthony Davis.
Right, but if you can offer, you know, it's one thing if you can offer some type of superstar. If you can offer THT and the package that went to the Wizards, no, probably that's not. No.
Wasn't good enough.
Lillard would be insulted by that.
Yeah, and, you know, so, like, that wasn't going to happen, but it was... It was just cool to listen. It was cool to see some of the details of this meeting. Well, a couple things. First of all, he took an Uber to LeBron's house, and the idea of being the Uber driver who randomly picks somebody up and you get in the car. Oh my shit! It's Damian Lillard. Where are we going? LeBron's house. Like that's a great Uber drive. There's a detail in there where Lillard goes into LeBron's house and they take the elevator to LeBron's roof for a lunch of pasta, Italian salad, and wine. I found that detail, both the menu and the fact that they're taking an elevator to LeBron's roof. I enjoyed that.
Okay. You hit on something that jumped out at me, reading the exact quote from Chris Haynes. Before they fully dove into a lunch of Italian salad, followed by pasta and a fine bottle of rosé wine, James kicked off the conversation detailing his experience living in Los Angeles. I'm not going to question Chris Haynes is reporting because he's outstanding. He's one of the best in the business, good guy on top of it. There is no such thing as fine rosé. Rosé is bullshit.
No, I disagree. Rosé has come a long way.
Andy. No, it has not.
Rosé, it really has. No, it has.
No, Brian, it hasn't. Rosé is rebranded Zinfandel. And white Zinfandel is bullshit. My wife loves rosé. She will even agree with me on this. Rosé is bullshit. I'm just telling you right now. It may be, I guarantee it was an expensive bottle of rosé, probably like a $700 bottle of rosé. Rosé is bullshit. Just saying.
I'm literally Googling, has rosé come a long way? And I did not get, the answers that I was looking for. Bugs Bunny. Wineshack.com. Rosé wines have come a long way since the days of white Zinfandel. It's another one. Wine Press Northwest. You've come a long way, rosé.
Yeah, it rhymes. Great.
I'm just saying. Anyway, so it's interesting to hear about other superstars and how they sort of perceive that idea of coming to LA,
right,
being
now,
an LA being part of that.
Bullshit.
That's the other Google search. All right. We got a lot we're going to do over the course of the next couple of days. Mike Richmond's going to join us for Friday's show, correct, Andy, to look a little about the Western Conference and get ready for Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers over the weekend. We're also going to get ready for a game that didn't seem necessarily like it was going to be super intriguing. The Charlotte Hornets are coming to town, and man alive, they are vaulting to near the top of all the league past standings and all that. They're a fun team to watch with LaMelo and Miles Bridges and those guys. So they're coming next week. We'll preview them for Monday or Tuesday. So a lot of things coming up. You look like you wanted to say something before we go.
Before we go, I went to Vino-Club. Rosé is just cheap rubbish, isn't it? All right.
Well, weigh in on that at Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Maybe we'll even post that. Is rosé bullshit? But anyway, we will see everybody on Friday.